Gonna, I think we're good. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We'd like to call to order the September 26th meeting of the Cambria Community Healthcare District, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's quite a nice chair next to the flag there.
I was trying to figure out what happened to that.
I did.
It went through the battle.
Yeah. Sort of looks like someone put it in the washing machine. Okay, could I have a motion to allow the board to conduct this meeting within the AB 2449 guidelines?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I can establish that there is a quorum with all members present. Dawn Calusa participating via Zoom. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment on items that are not on the agenda? Do we have any members of the public?
We have no members of the public.
Then they probably don't want to talk. Okay, so with that, we're going to hold our closed session first. And so we'll go into closed session. I will. Okay, we are back in open session now. With regard to the closed session report out, we have not finalized our work on that issue and would expect to report out publicly at the next board meeting. So on the consent agenda, we have approval of the minutes of the August 22nd regular board meeting. Any? Nope. People can comment. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Any comments on the minutes or? All in favor of approval of the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, Tim, the floor is yours.
The only thing that I would like to add to my report, just so that you guys are aware from the time that this was written until now, we did install ceiling fans in the
two. What?
Ceiling fans.
Oh.
In two of the rooms, and we replaced two in the main lobby area that were not working correctly. And unit 21 is actually back in service now.
Oh, good.
Yes.
And how much did that cost us?
Just under $2,300, which
was
back.
And it was the transfer case?
It was the transfer case that imploded and disintegrated. So the transfer case is the first leg of the transmission. Unfortunately, they don't make that one anymore, so they had to actually rebuild it. That's what took so long, is they had to track down all the parts and pieces. But it's in great working order. We take it out, we test drove it before it, put it back in service. They test drove it, then we test drove it here, transferring in and out and all that stuff.
I noticed there was a call up to Salmon Creek.
Yesterday, yes.
Yesterday.
Yes,
Muddy Fork vehicle.
No, we didn't, because Salmon Creek is not an area that can be accessed by any vehicle. Yeah, the patient was actually short hauled out, I believe, by H-70, which is the rescue helicopter. I wasn't in the office, but I was at home helping facilitate, making sure that things got taken care of.
So that actually is north of Paul's Slide?
No, it's actually south of Paul's Slide, but the trail is about that wide. And to,
I've done the trail.
Yeah, I haven't personally done the trail. I've only heard the horror stories of it. So anytime that our crews go on that trail or any of the trails up there, I always make a request to get an air rescue ship, which has got the hoist capability to go in, fly in, pick up the patient, bring them back out, versus us having to try and hike in and stuff like that.
So then they brought them out.
And then we transported.
And then transported by ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Um,
I know what I was going to ask you, is that since this report was prepared,
yes.
Is there any additional update on the PG&E work?
On the what?
PG&E,
no. I have reached out to our gentleman multiple times, and he's getting the same response that they're waiting for Eli at PG&E. So today after the meeting, I'm going to call PG&E and find out what's going on, because I have a contact for them above Eli, and I will be more than happy to call again, because it's been way too long. We should have something.
And what about the contractor that Chase works with?
I have not seen him. He was supposed to come by last week. He still hasn't come by.
So you talked to him?
I talked to him.
He was just gonna...
He said he's 6 to 8 months out at best. And he would come by and look at the work, but he's 6 to 8 months out from the time that I talked to him before he could even begin the work.
But quality can begin sooner.
Quality can begin sooner, and we have another quote that arrived yesterday from On Time Plumbing that I'll get out to everybody to do.
And they have a general that could do the other work?
Yes, they would do the whole and complete thing altogether.
What was their quote?
Quality was just a little over 7,000, I believe.
And then this new?
For the whole thing. That's framing, plumbing, permits.
And where are they?
Pass Rubles.
And this new quote?
Is out of Atascadero, and I haven't looked at the, I haven't read it yet, so I can't give you a number.
But at least you have two quotes.
I have two quotes. We actually have three now, because we also have Potter Plumbing's quote.
It's 10,000.
Yeah, and
with
no details.
Description of what was included.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And I did ask Chase for a written estimate also, and I still haven't gotten one from him.
I think he, I don't know.
Questions?
And I am assuming that the fire chief is just fine.
The fire chief is on the official, and the only thing that I'll attest to is that he is on paid administrative leave.
I did think I saw that. Yes, yeah. He's not. Yeah.
So with Matt, so Matt McElhaney.
Matt McElhaney assumes that position, and Matt is not the least bit worried about what we're doing. He knows that we're taking care of it, and he has no intentions on stepping on our toes, pushing us, or doing anything. If we need his help, he's more than happy to help. But otherwise, he's aware that the district is working diligently to get this problem rectified, and we will get it rectified, that we're not dragging our feet.
Okay, thanks so much, Jim. Linda.
Okay, just a quick overview for the financial report, August. The ambulance billing was close to budget. Billing was $74,000 with unfavorable to budget by only $3,000. So that was very good. We were, I think my next sentence wasn't written as well, but we recorded revenue of $93,000, but we kept the budget very consistent with what we thought we would get within that year, I mean, this current year, the 2023. Transports activity 41 versus 45. Which is in Tim's report as well. The GEMT program, we did not receive that in August. We did the prior year, so that's why it was budgeted for that. But again, with the state, it's very unknown when you're actually going to get a deposit. So
did we get it in September?
No, we have not received it as of today. Again, it's an unknown program. You're just at their mercy when they're going to release their funding. We don't know the amount, nor do we know when we would receive it. I'll keep you posted.
Is there anybody to follow up with?
There's not. We're submitted. We get a confirmation that our reports are submitted. It's kind of like the property tax where they collect, you know, their receivables, they collect their funds, and then they disperse it.
But with property tax, we know we can call someone.
Right. I mean, I can follow. I can definitely do that. I think, like I said, we have a confirmation, but we don't know when.
I am infinitely more familiar with the way this works with hospitals, but on the hospital side, you pay in.
We pay in,
and
correct.
In this case, we also do. I wonder if we it's that do. Same group.
And it's an older program. That's the program where you onto a new program now. So I don't know if they're just, you know, finalizing their reports. I can get those answers, though. I can get a little more answers, especially in your, we're at the ending of our September, so if we have not received it this week, I will definitely have an answer for you in my next financial report for September. Sound good?
Okay.
I will follow up. And as far as expenses, August, we were $10,000 favorable to budget, so that was good. We didn't spend to our budgeted amount, and you'll see the what I've noted within not only the financial report, but also in the descriptions for that. I'm not sure if there's any questions, or do you want me to run through them all, or you've already read them. Our net income for August was reflected favorable as well in the amount of $12,000, so that's good. In year to date, we are also favorable, so we're doing good as far as that goes. Our audit will begin, I'll be preparing for the audit in October, so that means closing out our 2022-23 year, and then we have an on-site visit scheduled for November. The trust account bank balance as of this report that you have printed here in the packet was $36,000. We just, you did approve covering the electrical expenses for the from the trust and transferring that, so we just did that this week. And they were close to $22,000. So that'll leave $14,000 in your trust account as a bank balance as at the end of September, that which I will also report.
Linda, that doesn't include the electrical.
It does not. It's not. I just put a side note for human resource. We've finalized your approved MOU. We're still just finishing up the actual document, and then we'll make sure that everybody gets a copy of that. We did update all the payroll accounts for the employees, so we've adjusted their rates and their whatever benefits, meaning their healthcare benefits, any changes that were made, those were all updated. CalPERS open enrollment is happening right now, so I did send out some information that I received from CalPERS and going through their site. So we've armed our employees, letting them know about the open enrollment. They do get their own emails, but if there's any help or guidance that we can give on our end, we're opening that door for that. And I did give them a price variance too, so that I gave them a snapshot of where their current plan is and what their employee contribution is, and the new rate for 2024. So they can make a selection that would be good for them. So I think that was probably new for the employees here at the district. And then also, I have completed what they call a PAF, which is a personal action form. So we have a record of any changes from their wages prior to the MOU to current. And the PAP is one of the recommendations from our auditor. It's very important to have in the employee file. So we have a nice procedure for that moving forward, which will help us with our auditing recommendations. And not only that, it keeps a record of whatever wage changes that you have for each employee. So we'll keep that up moving forward. So I think that was a good thing to implement. And that is it for my financial report. Answer any questions?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. On the CalPERS,
yes.
Because I know you've reported on this already, but the Platinum plan has a hefty increase, does it not? They didn't go up the same. Like Gold went up less than Platinum.
Correct. So we might see some changes. From Platinum to Gold. We'll see it, and again on the agenda that we're bringing forward to you today might help with that choice. That's why I put that on this month's agenda.
Great, thank you.
And the sale of Unit 16, that'll be in the September numbers, right?
That's correct, and I don't know if that's been reported out, Tim, but
What did we get from 777?
It sold for originally online at 15,000 and the check was 13.5. The last 10 minutes of the auction, it went up $10,000.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was. I was watching it and it was funny. Wow. 30 seconds, it was another bid, another bid, another bid. Literally lost like less than 10 minutes. It would just skyrocket through the roof.
Wow, that'll help September for sure. Thanks for that.
I thought of that ambulance yesterday as I looked down. There was a FedEx truck below my house and it had rusted ribs.
Mm-hmm. Now that one you can bond it, but
all right, thank you so much. We will go on to committee reports. First, I really want to thank Tim and actually our staff as well, but the Pine Dorado, which of course is always such a big darn deal here, that Tim personally led our brigade in the parade, and I know our staff put in a lot of time over that very busy weekend, and it is very, very appreciated. One topic I wanted to bring to your attention, not as an action item in the agenda, but just a heads up, because it is, since I have my orange on, we are approaching October and need to think about our annual solicitation for the trust. Mm-hmm. I think that we've learned a fair bit about, you know, about the, each year the ask has been a little different. You know, one year we were specifically raising money for an ambulance. Last year we specifically spoke about making improvements to our station. Is it appropriate? Can I ask? Can I open a discussion in my report? Because without an action item, I still am interested in knowing whether or not you all have thoughts about that appeal and what would be the most appropriate ask in terms of where the money is needed the most.
Seems like the facility is still issue.
The question I have about facility, because I agree, I mean, we all agree, but the question on that is that we don't have, until we have a project, we've now completed all of the immediate repairs for that.
Do you have another ambulance on order?
We do have another ambulance on order.
We do.
I would just go back to raising money for that. Actually, the public loves that.
Yeah.
They really do like helping us with the ambulances. And
yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'll draft up a letter. Any thoughts about timing? I saw that the community council envelope already arrived in my mailbox.
Yes.
So I think if you wait until December, you're going to be all right.
Beginning of December.
Yeah.
And the mailer, last time it was a little over 3,000.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, if you put out that community pamphlet and in the same mailer added, and oh, by the way, trying to raise money for an ambulance.
You know, we really want this to come as a gift to the community.
Yes, keep it separate.
I know you have a report on this, so
yes,
I don't want to.
Do. It's a thought, but I think our objective, and Dawn, you can correct me, is really to make it more of a gift to the community and not an ask.
Exactly. Just responding to the needs from the survey, trying to provide information and resources that are dearly needed and people gave us feedback on, and to really separate it from any of the fundraising for the ambulance. I mean, we're even using different pictures, so we are showing more of a human element. Human resources, medical resources. That's really the focus of it. We want to keep it separate.
softens.
Yeah, get that out soon.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, with 14,000 left, and then you have to do the electrical panel. But you should still have enough money to cover mailing.
I think you probably can't do a discussion item for it since it's a committee, just a report. Yeah. If you'd like, we can put it as an agenda item, and if you have ideas after this meeting, you can, we can gather those.
Yeah, I think that's where this was going. Is okay. By our October meeting, I would bring something on the agenda.
Okay.
So let me turn to Lori on their properties and facilities.
So our committee did not meet, but we do have an agenda item that we will discuss on getting updated cost estimates on a new facility. Three different facility options three options for the new facility that we need to discuss. And once we can move on that, then we'll have something to bring back to you in October. And Tim, and that's still, and part of that also will be getting a sign off on increasing the occupancy of the current facility.
Right.
Correct.
Oh, not being very official today. Can I go back to my president's report?
Sure.
There was one other topic that I wanted to bring up. I got a call from Dave Griffith. It was kind of interesting that he, specifically for Coastal Pines members, mm-hmm. has identified a contract phlebotomist. I don't know, so I helped him out with an independent contractor agreement, but it got me thinking, and I recommended that he get that started, but it did get me thinking back on this topic, because whatever he has to do phlebotomy is probably not dissimilar with what we'd have to do for the whole community. So, and particularly to the extent that there is an identified individual, we'd also talked about potentially training our paramedics. But I think as soon as the world calms down, Linda and I are gonna look at what that would really look like. Because of course, of course Dave is doing it our whole community may be in need. I think they are in need already just because that opens so rarely.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to just put that out there as a something to talk about later. Okay, Dawn, you have an agenda item, so you have a committee report?
I do. Would you like me to do the agenda piece first or the committee report?
Let's just do the committee report and we will do the agenda piece in probably
in order. Okay, so just the update, as you all know, you've received a draft of our resource guide, our healthcare resource guide. For any edits or changes, please send those to Linda. Linda and I will be working Thursday on hammering out the final pieces before they go to Julie for final design and printing. And by the way, thank you, Linda, for all the work you did on the formatting. It's beautiful. Outreach, we've also got educational classes starting up. Diane Kubat and Lori, they've been doing some work on outreach. So we've got a couple of classes starting up first October 18th. We'll have Colleen Juarez, personal trainer, talking about walking tips and starting a local walking group. And then on November 9th, we've got Michelle from Slo County Aging. She'll be speaking on fall prevention twice that day, in the morning and again in the afternoon. And late in November, I'm working out an option where we've got information on music as a stress reliever. So we're kind of coming at it with a different approach. You know, one of the pieces of feedback we got was stress reduction, stress management. And so we're going to get a little creative with bringing music as more experiential, how people can use it as a stress reliever. So we're still talking, but we're looking for late November. We don't want to get into December and conflict with all the holiday gatherings. Then on advocacy work, I'm working with Barbara Morrow, who's the director of oral health programs for Slo Public Health. And we're talking about bringing screenings and dental triage to the community, starting with the Hispanic population, which the feedback from that population, the surveys, was very strong about needing dental care and wanting dental information. So we're talking about setting up a screening as well as an enrollment in CaliDent for adults, where they could receive some coverage for dental costs and really learn more about dental care. So we're trying to do two things. And our idea is to bring it first to the Santa Rosa population. It would be before or after the Spanish Mass. So I'm working with Lourdes on that and Barbara. A little bit complicated, but the point is to be open to the whole community. It's just we're looking at making sure we direct some of our efforts and there. And they've also said that they would provide a translator. The county would provide a translator for that work. So last piece. We are finalizing the flyer for our fall classes, and we hope to get this out to the community through our contacts and networks next week.
I understand when you say Lourdes, I don't understand who it is when you're referring to Barbara.
Barbara Morrow, she is the director of oral health programs in Slo Public Health.
She's with Slo Public Health.
She's what?
With
Slo Public Health?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I covered that really fast because there's a lot going on.
Oh, CHC has a mobile dental facility. You're aware of that, right?
Yeah, I've heard something about that as well. And then I heard some input about I don't know that this is true. This is part of me trying to figure out what's fact and what's rumor, that if there wasn't, known business that would come out of it, that maybe we wouldn't be able to get the dental there. So I'm going to cover all the bases before we nail down what's going to be provided to the community on dental. It won't be just one shot, though.
Yeah, well, children, just so you know, we just got an additional $1,500 for the pediatric dental initiative. So I think I have enough money to get through another year.
Excellent. Yeah, so really, Iggy, we're really focusing on adult dental with this, knowing that that's part of the area that's in greatest need.
Well, you have a lot going on, Dawn. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Bruce?
Yes, the Finance Committee met on the 7th, and we had a wonderful meeting covering pretty much what preliminary for what was already presented by Linda in financial reports. So I've got nothing more to say on that.
Righty then. And development, Lori?
We haven't met, but just in meeting with Dawn, we've had discussion. We're going to be presenting an agenda item on the Spanish translation for the health resource guide. And with the thought being that we would approach Bruce Gibson's office about getting some support to help offset that cost. And also in discussion in trying to generate funding to help offset the cost of these community education projects, having consideration that we amend our 501c3 so that we can accept funds that can be utilized for community education. Because I know there are grant monies out there, but we can't accept them unless we're allowed to spend them for those projects. So I'd like to bring that as an agenda item next month. And FEMA has alerted us that the assistance to firefighter program will be opening up. Well, they didn't give us a date, they just said start working on it. So we'll just update our application that we put in last year for a vehicle. Unless Tim's got another major piece of equipment that we need to worry about.
Just the unit?
Yeah.
So if we can get on the replacement, then we can start working towards the replacement plan.
And still no word about the status of Project Heartbeat?
No, I've reached back out again personally to Mr. Putney, and I've got crickets, so I think another in-person visit is warranted.
Okay, thank you for that, Lori. So we'll turn to our regular business. Our first agenda item is the health care guide and directory, the estimate for the Spanish version of the health resource guide. Is there any, do we have any members of the public?
No.
Okay. So I don't need to ask for public comment. All right, then I will turn this over to, I assume Dawn.
Yes.
Dawn?
Okay. So as you know, and you've had hopefully an opportunity to review the full resource guide, the board has approved that for full print in English. And what we are asking for is your consideration to create the entire guide in Spanish, where we would be producing about 1,000 copies. And I have secured a translator if the board agrees. And her fee would be approximately $900 to $1,000. So that total being close to 4K is what we would be asking for to produce the Spanish version in hard copy that we would be getting out through grassroots efforts and community groups.
Well, I think I missed part because those numbers are different. Then what is different that...
What's different in my report, the Spanish translation was just an estimate. We really didn't know. It was a TBD until I talked to a few people and then worked with the school district translator who has agreed to take on this project. She's seen it in completion and that she would do the translation completely in Spanish. That's the difference in numbers, that the actual quote is closer to 900. To 1,000 for her complete translation.
Did you ask Lourdes Nylon?
Yes, I did. Lori asked, and Lourdes turned the opportunity down. She's pretty involved with other projects. So we started there. So I'm asking for your consideration on the board funding the Spanish translation, design, and printing. Do we need to have further discussion? Lori, anything you'd like to add?
No, I mean, the total's now closer to 4,000, right?
Yes.
So that's what you're asking for, is 4,000.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And,
I move to approve.
Is there a second?
I will second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excellent. We'll get that moving. Part two. Stay tuned.
Thank you so much. Now we go to the employee flex spending account. This is kind of exciting, I think.
Well, let's see. Oh, okay. So what do you want to do about the whole pamphlet? I guess you just want input from people.
I think that's where we already
for your Thursday meeting.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah,
you know, I had a thought just because of my physical therapy background, I just immediately went on the list of physical therapy, and I see that there's Cambridge Physical Therapy. Isn't core care still existent? Isn't there?
We could list them.
I would just hate to, because they're businesses.
Right.
And
yeah.
I hate to advertise one and not the other.
Okay.
Absolutely. We hear you, Bruce.
It's whether we've got them all.
Right.
So you have all have a printed copy and also a PDF. If you'd like to make any suggestions or changes, send those my way, and then I'll be working with Dawn on Thursday, compiling everybody's suggestions or corrections, and then I will be sending one file to Julie, our designer, for that. So whatever you can catch, please do. We appreciate everybody proofing it.
Okay.
More eyes are very helpful on a project this big to before it goes out.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
We appreciate your time on that.
What size is the pamphlet going to be?
Well, it's going to be folded over, so
I think it's like a 5x7 by the time it's folded over.
So it is this, it's not whatever a normal like letter size paper,
24 pages.
Folded in half?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay, just wondering.
Yeah, did you get something that, I think the goal, Dawn, if I'm wrong, is to kind of keep, have an easy copy for you to keep handy.
Right.
More like a magazine.
Yeah.
Right. And we are sending it in, as Julie was saying, a white envelope. So the name will be on the envelope. So people will open it and they will see that red cover talking about Minutes Matter. And we hope we can grab them with that to go on and see all the information and resources that are available to them that they may not know about.
Terrific.
Super.
Okay, Linda.
Okay, so I am very pleased to bring to the board of directors today the opportunity to install a flexible spending accounts for the district employees that we have, the full-time employees. This program, I think many of you are familiar with this type of programs that are available. There are two different spending plans that I'm presenting to you today. One is FSA, which is a medical spending plan, and the other is a dependent care spending account. What this is it allows you to set aside money once a year pre-tax for a certain kind of common expenses that I've explained in your staff report. And these expenses reduce your taxes, so again, it's pre-tax, but it's for items that you would commonly pay for, anticipate paying for it within the year. So whether you have your child in childcare, or you know that you spend a certain amount on medical, which is not covered under your insurance, so you would gauge how much you'd like to put into a savings account for that. Yeah, so again, not paid by insurance. And the contribution amount, the maximum for 2024 for your medical savings is $3,200. And we could opt for a carryover limit of 20%. That means you have a flex of 3 months to finish any remaining balance up to 20%. And the dependent care, it's for an individual, it's $2,500. Or if you're a married couple, you have up to $5,000 for your dependent care. Again, most people already have their kids, you know, that they're paying for, so to have a pre-tax is a little bit of a benefit. Mm-hmm. I know during our negotiations for the new MOU contract, the healthcare was one of the top issues for our employees. So I think we did a good job on what the district could do for providing benefits, but I think, again, anything that is not a huge cost to the district, I will work really hard to bring any opportunities to you for approval. I have identified a vendor or an insurance services that's been highly recommended to me, and that would be an administrator of the plan. So we could start the plan and administrate it at the district level. I've done that before. Or it's like a payroll company where you you take your deductions and you send your amount to the payroll company. In this case, it would be an insurance broker. I think that's a little safer bet. You know, once if we identify that people want to get on the program, we would deduct it from their payroll, and then we would fund this program automatically. I do that with CalPERS. You know, anything that we do right now, I process the payroll, it goes right to the payroll company. So it gets it out of the chamber or the district's bank,
And right into the program for safekeeping, not worrying about accruals, bank balances, things like that. So I would suggest using an outside vendor for the FSA program. And
does the cost, the estimated cost include that?
Yes, our estimated cost is very minimal. I mean, about $1,200. It's $100 to implement it the first time. And then there's a nominal, a small fee for administrative. Because again, they have a separate account through, I think it's Bank of America. So we'll open up our savings account with that. That would be for this program. And then the administrative wise, if it's medical, they would receive a debit card for that. And again, I even put itemized uses that you could use that debit card for that would be eligible. And then as far as a dependent care, they would take that receipt from either the camp or after school care or child care, and they would submit that, and the employee would receive a check back from the insurance company directly, which it does not take that long. I think it's maybe up to 30 days. I'm very familiar with the program. I'm very conscious that you shouldn't over commit to too much because of the program. So I have a lot of experience in this that I would prefer to sit with any employee that is interested in the program prior to enrolling in the program, just to make sure that they're aware of all, not a use it or lose it policy, but you really need to identify what you'd want to spend and what your benefit would be for that. But I think it'd be a great program for us to, with very little cost for the district, to offer as an employee benefit. And again, a lot of homework's done. I'm very familiar with the program. We'll take a little work to implement it, and it's open enrollment, so this is going to help with their I think it's perfect timing to do it this month and kind of roll it out if it's approved by the board of directors. Any questions I can help answer?
Do I have a motion for approval?
I think it's a great program. I move that we approve it.
Second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Linda. All right, we move on to Lori on the design.
Facility design.
Facility design. So we are trying to, in order for us to go forward with the bond initiative, we need to know the exact number to ask for. And so we need to update the costs on what the cost would be to do a new build, which should not take very long for a banner to calculate.
It's just costing our original.
Adjusting for inflation, yeah, because we're a couple years past where we thought we were going to be starting. Also to cost out what a modular unit would be, but then it was also proposed that what if we were to look at the existing structure with the idea of removing the additions that were added in 67, so the
62 and 67.
Yeah, so where the administrative office currently is, and then on the east side where the crew court, part of the crew quarters was added, and use the existing shell, and then see what that, because in our discussions with the facility committee, Gary felt very strongly that the original structure and foundation probably would last longer than using a modular unit. So we really wanted to cost it out. It was also something that came up as a major question.
It was, yeah.
That we could not answer very well. So it would be to see what it would cost to use the existing footprint for the current building, and then add an additional separate garage facility or ambulance bay. And so Banner has given us a quote of in the amount of not to exceed $21,600. We've asked them also to provide what their hourly rate was and to be able to give an accounting of that. Gary and Don feel that
Sather.
I know, I'm having a senior moment. So sorry. feel that we probably can get be these numbers from, we won't require that much to come up with numbers. And then Banner's asked for 3 to 4 weeks. I would like to be able to come back to them today and say, yes, you can go ahead, but we would need these numbers within 2 to 3 weeks so that our property and facilities committee can meet and review them before we present them at the October board meeting. And then in addition, they want to charge, what, $195 an hour to help us get the increased occupancy permit, because we need to have a registered architect sign off on that, and neither my brother, Gary, or Don have active licenses anymore. So we're kind of obliged to do that, and that should be under $2,000 to do that.
Does Bruce Berry have an active license?
I haven't seen Bruce in forever, so I...
I don't think that he's working much right now.
So I have a question about item number 3, where you're removing...
Renovating.
But you're talking about, let's see, to completely renovate the existing building except the 1967 addition. So what would happen to the 1967
addition? They would be demolished. They would be taken off. So the area where the administrative office would be removed, and then the back side where that addition was added for saving quarters would be taken off on the east side, as well as demolishing, 25, 35, or whatever it is.
So how can CCHD continue to operate in the existing building during the work?
I'm not sure how they're going to do that, but that's what they're being asked to show us, because the cost of us relocating Bruce and the administrative area is quite expensive. It's probably, when we were looking into it, just trying to locate something that would be acceptable and having to do, even if we were to do something up at the high school, which is still an option, we're looking at probably between $350,000 to $500,000. I think that was the objective.
So is the idea that if you remove the additions, you use that core foundation, but then you have to put additions back on? Is that good? You're not left with enough space. What happens to the administration then?
Those are all good questions for the architects. This is a conversation. I know that Gary had a long conversation with Rob Nash, and that he reviewed his proposal and said, yep, that's what we talked about. So
this is going back to the Banner proposal of, like, 2016 or something, or 2018? Way back when.
Yeah.
When they were going to take our existing facility and upgrade it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I don't know, Iggy, that's a really good question. And so I don't know that you're looking at the space study that we did for what we required for space and taking that into account. I don't know if there would be an addition added on to the original footprint or not in order to accommodate it or not. I just don't know that yet. And Bruce, do you have any thoughts on
that? Well, I have my senior moments too, but I know that they had ideas. And I know that when I had, they were on the line and we had pieces of paper with footprints in front of us, it was doable. So, moving forward with the professionals, laying out the bottom line, that seems sensible to me.
Tim, do you have a recollection, since you're not a senior?
I don't have a recollection of what they were talking about. I'd be interesting to see the drawings.
Yeah.
That would be the thing is...
Yeah, it's more than a recollection. It's a drawing, and they mapped it out in front of us.
It's got to be an addition.
It would seem.
Yeah, I can't fathom. If you're taking off part of the crew quarters and the admin, you've got to replace it.
Yeah.
I don't see how we can have just what they classify as the B quarter, which was the main building that was built in 57. Mm-hmm. Now, the renovation, the thing is that even with You have to see what Vanner's renovation is going to be, because if they renovate more than 50% of that building, if they renovate 51%, we trigger the new codes of the sidewalk and stuff like that, which is going to then require, from my understanding, talking to Rob and the architects, the current kitchen, weight room, and living room area of that the building right now would end up going away, because they would have to put the sidewalk in, and that would be, that area would be required for the sidewalk.
So, well, yeah.
I'm not trying to downplay that, but yeah. I would like to see the drawings and see how right. much of the renovation is going to be done. Make sure that we're not going to say, yes, let's move forward with this plan and shoot ourselves in the foot.
Well, that's what we are trying to move forward so that we have an idea. And again, I'm going to trust the professionals, and I think that your concern about the weight room and stuff is taken care of by having a separate ambulance bay, a separate building. You have your weight room, you're going to have storage, you're going to have...
I'm just worried about this, not so much about that as I am what we're going to have to do in addition.
Right, so we will have a property and facilities meeting and review it again, but I know that this, I know a lot of work has been gone into this already. So we will be bringing it back to the board.
And I suspect that the committee discussed this, but you know, of the three things you're crossing out, you've got the original plan. Mm-hmm. Was there any discussion about a fourth option, which is to take that plan that we developed before and dumb it down?
We could shrink it down some too. There are some things we could do.
Well, I think we want to get started on this work. I'm going to leave it to you to make sure you think we've covered our bases. I do agree that this is complex enough that professionals have to think about what would be required.
And I think what they're exploring is the modular building. So when you say they're taking, demolishing, but they're exploring in these drawings the a modular building.
Yep, that's under number two.
I think right. Under three, it doesn't say modular building.
It doesn't. It doesn't for two, but I think that's what their plan is. Right. They'll be bringing those options to you.
Right. But I will say the second option to look at the existing building is one that we got hit so hard on because we did not do that. Oh, if you place light for lunch.
Much.
And we didn't have the actual numbers and the figures. And so we really do need to do the work or have the work done. And it will require having a separate ambulance bay if that's what you want to do. Kind of where we're at, and, mm-hmm. and the fourth option would be you can always downsize if you have to. If you go with a new build, you can say the conference room is going to be small.
I was going right there. Yeah. So there's just things in there that before we had our election experience, it was like, well, but could we function without those things? Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that the primary election, there's going to be the ballot. Initiative ACA1 to amend the Constitution to only require 55% vote instead of the 2/3 vote for special districts as well as others. ACA1.
Mm-hmm.
Assembly Constitutional Amendment 1.
And that's definitely going to be on the primary ballot?
According to what I got from Bruce Gibson, yes.
Okay. Do you know if it needs to pass over the simple majority?
Gosh, I don't know.
I think that would benefit us. But we will meet and we will get things, we will get answers.
So do I have a motion to approve?
I move that we approve this.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Declaration of future agenda items. So I have I only wrote down two, at least during, and Linda, you may have a couple others. I have
bringing back something about the mailing for the trust appeal. I have Lori mentioned the amendment of our charitable purpose with the IRS to include community health. What else?
Reporting out results.
Of the banner.
From closed session.
Closed session report. Then you would have the banner. Then. Mm-hmm. Can anybody think of anything else right now?
There may be a need for closed session to review mm-hmm. a yeah. contract and then the report out.
Okay. You can always let me know if you come up with mm-hmm. other agenda items for the next meeting. With that, I would like to adjourn the meeting at 10:45 exactly, and we'll see you on October 24th.
Thank you, everybody.
You didn't use your mouth.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, come on.
Now we're done. Thank you.
You woke up right.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rocky. That was scary, wasn't it?
WTF.